The epistle of, or epistles of John, first one, chapter 5. I hope to speak to you on the last verse in that chapter. We'll begin reading prior to that. But before we read, would you join with me as we continue what I hope is a worshipful service. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord, the one thing it seems that the children are being brought into the awareness of Noah's day and of Lot's day. It is a grievous weight upon us that we have no influence. We have no one the ears. No one that can see determining a difference in us and the professor and oft times a worldly person. We may have cleaned up outwardly our lives, others might look at us and say, they are Christians. But it never has an influence or an impact. They look, they pass by, and they go on with living. And when we come together, and if we do hear, if one does hear, thy voice within their soul, the stirrings of thy spirit within, it is a short-lived passing quickly away unless they guard it as a rare gem. But usually, Lord, these impressions are not strong enough for us to call them gems. I certainly can't do anything about that other than ask for help. Just don't have the wisdom to come up with that which might catch and hold their attention. And Lord, all that I can do, and this seems so faint and so weak, is cry to you to help the children and the unconverted and the church. Bring us to a place we've never known, a sight we've never seen. Christ in His glory, and we taking our rightful place at His dear feet. Help as is pleasing to you today, gracious Lord, the hearer and the preacher, and glorify Thy great name, exalt Christ somewhat in this hour. In His name we pray. Amen. First John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. None of us have the discernment to look at another individual and say, that person has sinned the sin unto death. No need me praying for them. We don't have that discernment. We can, if the Spirit of God helps us, pray for those who do sin that God might give them life. But those that commit a sin unto death, they just fade from your heart. They do not come up in mind in the prayer closet. They're still walking around, and sometimes you run into them and you think, I forgot to pray for them. No. Because if our prayers aren't directed by the Spirit of God, He does not hear them. And you can only ask that which within the heart is stirred by the Spirit of God. There is a sin unto death. In the children, possibly in the children. As John mentioned about Lot, we would not know that he was a Christian had not the New Testament shed light on that. Well, he went to heaven. That's all I'm aiming for. Don't know if you're going to make it. That's all you're aiming for. He died in a cave, fathering two nations from his two daughters that would forever be a thorn in the side of the children of God. I don't want to go out like that. And somebody that commits a sin unto death will depart this walk of life without any assurance within. They'll wake up surprised in glory. That'd be an awful thing to enter into the valley of death, not know. And on the opposite end, there are some that are so confident. It does not matter what anybody says, they know they're going to heaven. And they're going to go all the way through death with that assurance. Even got their little speech of what they're going to tell God when they get there. We've done all these wonderful works. Been a big help in society, helped mankind. And God say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But you couldn't put a finger on any outward sin any of them ever committed. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. That sin is different than that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, recording the words of the Lord Jesus, warned you against. You can speak against me and you'll find forgiveness. But if you ever speak against, blaspheme the Spirit of God, you have committed the unpardonable sin. Might be called reprobation. How do you blaspheme? Attributing to the devil the workings of the Spirit of God within your own soul. You go through that doubt. Now it might be the devil. You be careful here. It might be the Lord. So just don't put it down immediately and say the devil is causing me to doubt. Might be the Spirit of God, and you've attributed to Him the works of the devil. Do it enough, and God will walk away from you and reprobate you. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, folk, that is not talking about you reaching a state of sinless perfection. There never has been one. There never will be one. You are a sinner. You will go to the grave committing sin as a sinner. But you will never excuse your sins. Well, that's who I am. God doesn't expect me to be perfect. Yeah. The workings of God within are bringing you to perfection. But there is that within created of God that cannot sin. That new creation, that new creature. Whosoever is born of God. Now, this is a verse that has perplexed me for a great number of years. I still do not have the answer to it. But Paul, writing to the Galatians, he said, you started out good. But you've turned back. You started out giving God due honor in salvation by faith. But you're going back into the old Jews' form and their ceremonies, and I'm afraid of you. And this is a verse 19, chapter 4, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. That mother's going through birth only one time for that child. I don't know the extent of what he's saying, but it is as if there is this within his heart wherein they have given him reason to think that they never were children. And he's bearing them again in heart. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's that creation of God that does not sin. Verse 18, second phrase, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Outwardly, yes. Inwardly, he can't get to the vineyard of God's keeping, to the garden of God's planting. And by his activity towards us and in the world, we know that we are of God. Now the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that's a rather weak English word. We can't grasp the full meaning of. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him. You know the Son of God only by the Spirit of God. For he shall take of mine, Christ said, and shall show it unto you. When he is come, he will not speak of himself. Any movement that calls attention to the Spirit of God is not the Spirit of God. He only speaks of Christ. And God has given you an understanding that you may know Him. That is true. And in that understanding given by God, you may know that you are in Him. That is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, reduced down to Christ alone. It is not your believing, though you will believe. It is not your repenting, though you will repent. It is not you receiving. It is not you asking. It's Him. He alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. You on the rock? This is the true God and eternal life. And following immediately upon John telling you what life is, eternal life is, and that God, having given you an understanding that you might know Him, and that you might know that you are in Him, upon that, following closely upon those words, He makes this statement, and He wants you to know, not everybody that says, I am a Christian, not everybody that says, I know Him, knows Him. Not everybody that says they are in Him are in Him. This is life, and over here is idols. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the children. These to whom He is writing. And the Spirit of God will prevent until He be taken out of the way, and then He will cease to prevent. He will cease to give an understanding. He will cease to reveal Christ. He becomes silent. And whether you will admit this or not, you and I live in a day of God's almost total silence. Most will not have a word from God this day. They will not in the least be stirred towards Him. And it will not bother them that God had nothing to say to them. God, silent. Folk, listen to this. A man after God's own heart was so in such difficult straits, and God so quiet, doing nothing within, that he asked, is His mercy clean, gone forever? Now, how many of you live with any inward awareness of the mercy of God? Rather, we all have been taught of the mercy of God, and so, sure, God is merciful, therefore God is merciful to me. How do you know that? Well, I'm here. Do you know anything about a personal revelation of the mercy of God? Well, he saved. How long ago? Has there been anything from that day forward of the mercy of God about you and the mercy of God within. If those old men cried out about God's mercy gone, why is there no cry within us? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Oh, we sit comfortably, oh no, God can't forget, never forgets. Has God forgotten to be merciful to you? For if there are any of you this morning that will receive the slightest inclinations within your heart, any stirrings of the Spirit of God, it will be short-lived. He'll be gone before you get home. Possibly before you get out the back door. It will not alter the course of your life. You will go on doing exactly that what you were doing before you came in. You will go on living under supposedly the blanket of God's mercy and God's love. You can't find anybody in the Scripture when God approached them at first that He came to them with a message, I love you. Not a one. And yet we figured out this is the way to approach all sinners. And we figured out with our little form, this is what you say to them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God gave that to one person. No more than two or three. And that was a man that was trembling and afraid and ready to commit suicide. And he came in trembling and said, what must I do to be saved? And God, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can find somebody trembling within, you can tell them, believe. But God never approached anybody on the basis of His love or mercy or believing on His Son. And the woman came, sneaked through the crowd, and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And He said, who touched me? Scared her to death. Nobody came and said, now don't you worry. Don't you worry. He's a loving Savior. He's a merciful Savior. You just go up there and confess that you're the one that did it. And she, when she found out that she was not hidden from Him, trembling, she fell before Him. And He sent her away in peace. And the disciples in the middle of the storm, and they see Him walking in fear, apprehends all of them, and He says, be not troubled, it is I. And yet we can approach this God on such a familiar basis today that there's not an ounce of trembling in all of us put together. And you know what else we do? living under God's silence, we take it that our lives are being approved by God. If God didn't approve of what I was doing, He would convict me and He would tell me it's wrong. Not necessarily. Find out in the book if it's wrong. And quit thinking because God's not troubling you that everything about you is pleasing to God. Could be God just left you alone. Not saying anything to you. These things hast thou done, Psalm 50:21. I didn't bother you with it. I didn't take a rod and beat you. I didn't send the Holy Spirit to check you. These things hast thou done. I didn't do anything about it. I just kept silent. You got to admit, that's the norm of your life. God being silent. And you know what everyone else will do when God is silent and not bothering us about what we're doing, not convicting us? In our minds, we think God is like me. I wouldn't bother them. Their sin's not that big. Therefore, God's not bothering me. My sins, oh, sure, I know that I sin, but they're not offending God because God's not said anything to me. And we begin to form an idol. None of you went out to the wood shop. Took your instruments, woodworking tools, and formed a god. Or got a rock, made you an idol. You just formed one in your mind. Well, no danger in me doing that. John thought there was. I think there is. Aaron, would you get up and make us gods to go before us? For as for this Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. We gotta have a visible image. If you're not careful, you'll be forming a god in your own mind that you'll be praying to. And most everybody in our age, because of the silence of God, have brought God into their own mental range and into a sensible apprehension made up of their natural senses. And the silence of God has filled the land with idols. And the silence of God has depleted the land of worshipers, of worshipful places. How are you going to hear except God calls and sends one to tell you? He's not calling. He's not sending anybody. One, some distance from here, said it's God raising up any there I don't know. They do know that you're not going to be around much longer, don't they? One said, why don't you take some time off to see if you could gain a little strength? I said, tell me somebody that I could bring in affording me that opportunity. God's not saving because God's not talking. God's not calling. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he send in those workers in the vineyard. Have you ever asked God for that? See, we don't have the Spirit of God urging us in these matters. And everything God has ever done, he's always done it by the spoken word. God said, let there be. And there was light, and there was the sun, there was the moon, and there were the stars. And there was a human being. There were all the animals, and there was all the plant life. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalm 33:6. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, but God's not telling anybody his secrets today. We are without God speaking to us. We are without God urging us on towards him. We all are living in Omo, and the silence of God is so loud that nothing is being done. Before God sent his Son into the world, he told the world what he was going to do. Beginning with Eve, Genesis 3:15, throughout all the prophets, and then the gospel according to Isaiah, described Christ throughout. Micah told them the city, the little village he'd be born in. The shepherds were told that he was here. Simeon and Anna knew that he was coming. Not today. Into every city where he would go, he would send the disciples before his face. He said, now when you get there and you find a place where they will receive you, abide there. But if you get into a city and they will not receive you, just shake the very dust of that city off of your feet on your exit from us. And he calls 70 others and he sends them out two by two. Into every city, or set them before his face, into every city. See, God always, before Jesus came on the scene, there was the great proclaimer. God's Son's coming. When he was on the scene, John said, this is he. This is the Lamb of God. When Jesus said, Father, glorify me, thy name. He said, thou art my only son. Scientific mind said, did y'all hear that big thunder that day? Others said, we didn't understand, but I think an angel said something to him. and before Christ has ever saved any. That's you. And that's me. He fixed your heart to receive the message of the coming Messiah. And you weren't this brave little happy-go-lucky fellow or girl. In your inner being, you knew. You didn't know much, but you knew that's a holy being. And you knew you were a sinner. But there's no fear of God today, because the Spirit is not revealing God. There's no dread within your breast of facing God. We've made God such a nice, respectable little fella. No such thing as somebody's conscience checking them today. Your conscience is quiet. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. And because God is quiet to you, pride has developed and there is no need for you to seek after God. You can do just about anything. Almost commit murder and get away with it nowadays. I fuss with Toby about some of his heroes, sports heroes. Of course, any of you, John said, he liked to agitate. Any of you have been around Chris Perry? He got to take the crown for agitating. So if he finds out you don't like somebody, he loves them. I don't like some of Toby's sports heroes because of their despicable way of living. Well, everybody is like that. You just don't know about it. He's right. I don't. But I know one thing. Even those that were in public eye, they had something of a life that exemplified the game, the profession they were in. They may have been mean and wicked and the devil himself at home, but they kept it there. But because of a silent God, some of them, I believe, have gotten away, more than one, have gotten away with murder. Literally. And one of them is now a big analyst on a sports program. Only they can do great feats, America will accept them. Sin without any fear. When I remember him, I am afraid, and trembling takes hold of my flesh. When I consider him, I am afraid. fear and terror took hold of me. That's some of God's dear children that I just quoted. Do you have an idol? Little children, keep yourselves from mine. Now you can answer this by answering this question in your own heart. What is the frame of your mind and heart when you bend your knee? And if you would publicly and honestly declare that, I can tell you whether you've got an idol. Or you are before the living God. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 8, we know that an idol is nothing. And yet, the Corinthians were so affected by things offered to idols that they wouldn't eat that meat. You could go down to the meat market and get one reduced 90% because they'd used it the day before in a worship service. Buy a nice roast. Corinthians, no, we can't eat that. That was offered to idols. Paul said, listen at you. An idol is nothing. He can't curse that roast. He can't sanctify that roast. That idol didn't make a change on that roast. And yet you backed off like that's a holy piece of meat. And yet we serve dead idols. They can't bless or they can't curse. And think nothing about it. First Timothy 4, I won't keep you much longer. That's probably about the only thing you've heard that was nice this morning, right? I know. Now, I know I'm not the smartest tack in the pack, or smartest cookie in the jar, but I got enough sense to know that I could sit at home and fix these nice little messages that would never trouble you one bit. I got that much sense. I don't have a lot, but I got that much sense. Well, what good's it doing you? First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Is there anybody here this day whose conscience has not bothered you in a long span of time? Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat. Boy, that roast was offered to an idol. Y'all can't eat that. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Everything you start towards your mouth with, I don't care how healthy it might be for your body, it was raised on an earth cursed. And the only way that food can be sanctified. Now, I'm not a complete health nut. I think you ought to eat wisely. But I've known folks that died with cancer, that had a strict diet all their life, died young. I'm not telling you to go out and eat anything, but I'm telling you that which God hath made, if it be received with thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You ask the blessing upon food, sure, to be thankful, but for God to remove that curse and make it beneficial to your body. And the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and seared consciences that cannot be touched. If you ever severely burn a part of your flesh, it never again can be affected with touch, with pain. You burn out the nerve endings, which tells you something hurts. The God that I am serving today is different than the one I was serving 40 years ago. Not that God has changed, but the Spirit of God is changing my perception of Him. And I look back over the years, and the regretful thing is the number of years wasted in trivial things, when I could have more knowledge of God today than I have. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. God always destroys idols in the children's hearts by truth, but never truth in and of itself. If all you've got a Bible in your hand, it'll kill you. It'll puff you up. It takes the Bible opened by the Spirit of God. If it is not accompanied by the Spirit of God, it will produce a Pharisee of the highest magnitude. God was silent 400 years after Malachi said, cursed. Didn't phase religion. Not one bit. I mean, they went on with it. As a matter of fact, making children or making people twofold more the children of hell. You can't reach religious Pharisees. They've done what was necessary. They dare you to question them. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, and the owner of the house sweeps and garnishes his house, and that unclean spirit can find rest. He comes back and he brings seven more wicked with him than he. And he enters that man. That's men and women who have cleaned up their lives by their effort. I have no problem with Alcoholics Anonymous. None whatsoever. But I got a problem with them and that being an end in itself. I don't care what you're determined to do. You may live the rest of your life good, kind, but it's unclean spirits within. More wicked than the wicked one that left. And these men, most of them, and women, get through that program speaking about a higher power. And all of them are quite satisfied that life has been cleaned up. When the judgment of God is upon a land, God shuts his mouth. When the judgment of God is upon a land, Isaiah 57:1, the righteous perish. Nobody lays at the heart. The righteous are removed. And I've buried a couple of good friends that God used much in their day. They're not missed. Because in the closing of their ministry, they had no effect upon souls. So children, I warn you, keep yourself from idols.